First off, you look amazing, all of you. We had such a special day today. It was so nice to talk to all of you, kind of up close and personal, and share all of our stories. And we're so glad you all are here tonight, because it's a really special night. It's like an extra special night.
It almost feels like a homecoming in a way.
Why is that, Tim? Why does it feel like a homecoming?
Oh, just because this is my hometown.
Oh, is that
So I hang on, microphone issues.
Oh, we got it.
I
Here,
got
do you
it.
need do I need to assist? Okay. Are we
One
good?
sec. Technical. See, it's not. Now you can see how the magic really happens.
You got it? Okay. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it, and it's gonna be
See,
great.
I knew there was a way.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Exactly. Whoever said that.
Everybody, so yeah, so Maggie, this is kind of a very special full circle moment for me. This is the city that made me. Who's actually from Seattle? So
Love it.
I spent the first 18 years of my life here, and basically the reason I became an actor is because a little place called Seattle Children's Theater, where I started studying when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Seattle Children's Theater, everybody. And
The water.
hydration's important.
Yeah, hydration is very important. Are you all hydrated? Okay, good. Maybe everyone take a sip. Let's all take a sip together. How about that? Hydration is important.
Especially when we drink as much as you and I have prior to.
So Tim, yeah. So who's aren't some of these very special people in your life here actually here tonight?
So I have some of my dearest, oldest friends are in this house tonight. Could go through a couple special ones. Darren Van Pelt, raise your hand. Seventh grade locker partner, everybody.
That's so cool.
Christine Kiever.
Yeah.
My very first leading lady and the very first play I did in seventh grade, everybody.
Seventh grade?
Seventh grade.
Wait, sixth grade? This was the first leading lady, like in first play you did?
Seventh grade,
Or
junior
seventh grade?
Highland Junior High. Anybody cares?
Yes.
Christine cares.
Oh, I love it. So good.
Hey, there's somebody else. Hey, Meg, remember that thing that was in all the papers?
What? I don't know what you're talking about, Tim. I
Or
don't.
this thing that happened to my brain that Maggie had a stroke.
What? When?
7 years ago.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, no, it's fine. I'm okay.
Okay. All right. That's good. I mean, you
But
look great.
actually,
Right?
thanks.
Doesn't Tim look great?
Well, look. I'm sorry. No. Speaking of looking great, come on. Like I say, damn girl, you clean up in your vegan dress.
It up for you all tonight,
It's a
Seattle.
hometown. I got to glam it up for the crowd. So when I had that thing with my brain that almost tried to kill me, a very special friend named Ron Johnson. Ron, where are you? Raise a hand. Ron Johnson's entire friend. So Ron, one of my dearest friends. Ron's one of the guys who, with several other pals, flew to the ICU in Tampa, Florida, to help my dear wife, beautiful wife, Allison, take care of me. And she's also my friend.
Aww.
So Ron, I love you. Thank you for being there for me then, and of course, here for me now, and every moment since we've been friends in, I think, 11th grade when we first really met.
That's so special.
So thinking, I love you, and thank you for being here. And so speaking of my friend Allison, something that's extra special.
Oh,
Oh,
don't sit down.
she clearly
Don't
sat
sit
down.
down. No.
Here's what's really cool about the Psychologist Pod 24 tour. Can I tell you?
Yeah, please. I'm dying. I'm dying to
Okay.
know. What is so
So
cool?
now Allison, whether she likes or not, has to travel with me because that thing that happened that was in all the papers.
I think you made that up. Anyway.
I need to spell traveling. So Allison was always taking care of kids when we were shooting that little show called Psych. So she never really got to be much of a part of our on-set hijinks. And now, lucky or not, she gets to be a part of all of this and part of what you and I are doing here and
Absolutely.
meeting all of you folks.
And we don't have any fun.
It's all,
Zero.
as she can tell, it's awful. So,
We love you so much, Allison.
and I couldn't be here or any of the other cities without her.
Exactly.
So, Thank you, Dylan. Thanks for helping me pick out my new suit for the show.
She's also really good at making sure that we're all that we're both very hydrated.
Yeah.
You can always count on Allison to make sure we have our
drinks. I got a little too much wax in the mustache, just looking a little too Dudley Do-Right or Dastardly, whatever his name is. Yeah, so she doesn't like when I wax it up too much, so I can always look to her and she'll like just reach. I mean, she's just about like to mom going. But thank God for her, otherwise it would look like crap all the time.
We love you, Allison. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's right.
Oh my God! I almost forgot. I'm looking right at him. Now, if many of you who's listened to the podcast before, oh, that's good. Otherwise, it'd be really awkward. So when we did a little show called episode about Black and Tan, a crime of fashion, I've told the story of a very special friend of mine who came from Seattle, drove up to set. My favorite high school teacher, the man who really was so instrumental in becoming an actor, Mr. Steve Meredith, my high school English teacher.
Yeah.
Who came out to see us full circle do this our dog and pony show for y'all. So Steve is a man who taught me, A, how to spell better. or use better English than I was used to using. Grammar, I think they call it. Is that what they call it, Steve? Grammar, right? taught me the love, really, like, turned me on to some of my favorite plays, Death of a Salesman. And I would constantly, like, this guy was so cool. He would run through class and he used to love, he would just spout out lines from the best Paul Newman movies ever.
And we know you love Paul Newman.
We do love Paul Newman. Thanks. Yeah. And Steve was wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Steve, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And, and again, okay, I'm going to, and that brings it close to my hometown homies here. So I love you all. Thank you for being, hey, Maggie, should we talk about the show?
We should talk about the show, but we have an order of business before we get to talking about the show. And it's a very important question. And I think you should do the honors since we're in Seattle.
Thank you for the honors. Hey, hometown crowd, I got a very important question for you, which you just keep me up. Are you all ready to help Maggie and I podcast the shit out of this episode? I knew I could count on you.
I'm just going to get my glasses.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Tim. Gosh, you look fantastic. I know I already said that, but like the suit is so good. And I have to say, though, I think my favorite thing you're wearing, it would have to be your socks.
Oh, you mean these socks with the most beautiful assistant detective in the world on?
Aww.
Also, just my Maggie Lawson socks.
I also have Tim Amundsen socks, but, you know, it didn't go with the fit. So. We'll wear them at one of the events. We'll plan it.
Microphone.
What? This thing? You mean this thing? I should use this
thing
so
which
people
helps
can
hear me?
All right. I love it. All right.
I'm going to pull up my very professional
notes.
Pull
up your notes. Are you all ready to dive in? Do you know what episode we're doing? Oh, you all know. Okay, great. I mentioned it to a few people, but I didn't know if everyone knew. We're doing Sean Interrupted. This is season 6, episode 6.
Holy guacamole, we are rolling through the show.
I know, we really are. Do you all know what Sean Interrupted is like based on the title?
It's in my notes. We'll get to it. Don't give it away.
Yes, you got both. Why are you sorry? What? Oh no, that's okay. I asked the question. It's fine.
Our amazing homage to Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's Nest and Girl Interrupted. It's called gotcha. Sean Interrupted. So should we dive in? Let's dive in. Did I forget anything?
Dive it on in.
All right, we're going to dive in. All right, Sean Interrupted. Season 6, episode 6, written by Kel Cahoon, who we love, and directed by Andrew Bernstein.
Our dear pal Andrew, who listens to the show. So I'm not just saying that, Andrew, because I know you're listening. But we do love you.
No, we do love
you. But it helps you listen to the show as well.
He also was on the podcast. He was a great guest on the podcast. Pineapple Siding. Did anyone get it? Because I didn't. Tim, did you get it?
Didn't even bother. I was too busy laughing.
So you all want to say, since you know? Yeah, the Jamba Juice, the razzmatazz is at the Jamba Juice. Sean asked for pineapple. And it's not, yeah.
Okay, and that I did, it was an audible, so I did catch that one.
Okay, I did too, but I didn't realize this. And as maybe you all can answer this, I think this is I'm learning something for the first time, which is that it's not always, like placed somewhere. Sometimes it's just said out loud. And everyone's nodding. And that's something after actually, 8 years of doing the show, I should have known. Okay.
I think the audibles are cheats.
Okay. They are cheats. Right? Yeah. I think we should just do the series again. And then...
Let's do it.
We should fix some of these issues that we're finding. Okay. That's my 2 cents. All right. Let's go. So pineapple sighting, you all got it. So we're cold open. It's 1991. Young Sean runs up to his room claiming he's going to play Legend of Zelda. Classic, amazing, you look amazing, game. Anyway, he's going to play Legend of Zelda, but Henry stops him right before, asking him about his quarterly project that he clearly didn't do.
Which I gotta call out Henry Spencer being, he gets a little bad rap for not being the most loving dad, but what an on top of it dad to know that his kids... As a single father, to know his kid's quarterly project is due.
Yeah. He's a good dad. This is why we call him Papa Bear, you know?
Real life, and sometimes on the show. But
It's so true. We do call him that in real life.
We never called him that on the show, but on our family psych thread, he's Papa Bear.
Yes, our psych family thread, which literally is called Psych Fam.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And we text all the time.
Corbin's joining us in a very special city soon.
Yes, he is. Wait, Richmond. Yes, he's joining in Richmond. Wait, are you all going? Are some of you going to Richmond? What? Oh my God, amazing. That's fantastic. Okay. We'll see you there. Meanwhile, okay, so everyone is celebrating a high profile
murder.
I love that I got an applause. Case. Lassiter cracked that is going to be featured on the local news that night. Sean is annoyed by Lassiter's endless boasting about his victorious takedown of Bernie Bethel, a billionaire accused of
murder. Sorry, I can interrupt Maggie. So we are mere seconds in and we have a series first.
Yep, let's do it.
So if you're driving, pull over the car. You know the routine. If you're on a ladder, climb off it. Gently, if you're put the treadmill to something that's a casual walking speed, because for the first time in the history of this show, O'Hara is in this weirdest, like this weird seafoam green shiny satin blouse.
It's weird.
Which is very similar to.
I love you said it's weird.
To what is my favorite Baskin Robbins flavor, daiquiri ice. Anyways, just remember literally having to pause the episode, going, what in the hell is she wearing?
I know. It was very different. And I didn't mind it, though, because it was a celebration. So I felt like it was like, you know, I'm out of my suit and my hair is kind of down, which we don't see that often. It's also curled. Anyway, so.
Made your ocean eyes blue look a little greenish.
Yeah. But anyway, also.
Sorry, ocean eyes blue eyes. You know what I meant.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I love that the shot of you in this scene when the banner is behind his head. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it cuts back to him as he's starting to put together, like, when it goes to the breaking news or whatever, and you're not happy. There's, like, a banner with your face on it. And then
it says, congratulations, Carlton.
Yes.
That, of course, he made for himself.
And a shot with you. It's very good. But it's a good banner. Okay. Anyway. So, all right. So we're back to Victoria's Takedown. Bernie Bethel, a billionaire accused of, unless you want to do it again.
Murder.
Oh my God, the audience, yes. All right. Sheila Hansen, a woman who was having an affair, he was having an affair with at the time of her death. Lassiter even made his own celebratory banner in his honor. There you go. Right?
Yes, Colonel Lassiter, of course he did.
Yes, you did. Right as the news report airs, everyone gathers around to watch and Lassiter yells at the TV. Bernie's brother, Daniel, is interviewed, saying he is completely shocked and devastated by everything that has happened with his brother. Just as Lassiter's big on-camera interview is going to air, and he's so proud, an update interrupting it flashes across the screen saying that Bernie was found not guilty by reason of insanity and will be sent to the West Haven Psychiatric Center. Lassiter is devastated, and he sees this as a travesty of justice, as Bernie is going to live out the rest of his days in a cushy country club-type atmosphere as opposed to prison where he belongs. Nice. I mean,
yes.
It is funny. All right. Wait, where was I? Okay. Sean makes the claim that Bernie is lying about being insane and that if given the chance to go undercover with Bernie's within Bernie's psychiatric hospital, he can get him to come clean about not being insane since Sean tried to use that excuse long ago.
So, as some of you know, there's some drinking games involved in our podcast.
Water.
So I, in our very water. First stop of the tour this year, I introduced a brand new one, which is the Psychonic Line Libation Time. So we've got a Psychonic Line here.
Oh my gosh.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
Okay. You, man, you ain't ready for this.
I mean, I got my water ready.
Get your water ready. And everybody pour whatever you're wearing, whatever you drink. Again, it doesn't have to be alcohol if you don't drink. It can be perhaps a delicious pineapple juice.
Could be some milk, you know, whatever you want to drink.
Or even a scoop of pineapple sorbet, unless you're if you're lactose intolerant. Basically, I'm saying you don't have to drink for the drinking. It's just, it's a reward to yourself. Whatever makes you happy, now's where you can have a little something.
Self-care, you know? It's
self-care.
Really about self-care.
So it's when Lassiter says, I want to go undercover, and they say, no, he'll recognize you. The line is, one of my favorite lines of the show, I'll grow a beard and wear nothing but plaid. No, I'll grow a beard and wear nothing but tweed. So I'm wearing plaid now that I confused myself. So basically, it's kind of what I'm basically cosplaying myself as last in that scene.
We were hoping some of you might catch it. Yes. I love it. Okay. So Henry even backs up sending Sean undercover because he's the perfect person for the job. Sean meets his only contact inside the mental hospital, Dr. Abel Elliott. Gus is there too, buttering up Dr. Elliott, trying to get the hospital to hire his services as part of the Central Coast Pharmaceuticals, asking him, oh my God, are those Lakers tickets in your pocket?
We have a meta moment here.
Oh.
So as they get to the, again, after the introductions are done, I believe it's Juliet says to Sean, you, just because you've watched Girl Interrupted 6 times doesn't mean you're an expert.
Oh, yeah.
So again, like, I just love that this show is so meta that we call out our own titles.
We are so meta. I love it. Okay. Gus then learns that he is going undercover too, as an orderly. He is, at first, very apathetic about his assignment until Vivian shows up. A very attractive patient inside.
Or as Gus calls her, hey, girl.
She suffers from multiple personality disorder. This is played by Juliana Gwil, who has been a long friend of Psych. And anyway, she's so funny in this. We didn't mention Brad Dourif yet, have we?
I'm getting there right
okay,
now.
Okay, he's getting there. All right, great. You want to do that?
You should do my very professional notes.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, like when we started this podcast, you were doing your notes on it. But it was the pandemic, so it was a Postmates napkin.
It was.
And now, like, look at us. We're, like, all
good.
High-tech and stuff.
I just remember mine. Not really. I really don't remember mine. I should be looking at my notes, too.
So we found that, well, you're busy with – you're pulling double duty because you're reading the synopsis. That is made by our amazing producer, Devin.
Let's hear it for Devin. She's back there. She's videoing. She writes these synopses up and
synopsi.
And
on, Steve, what is it? Synopsis or synopsi? What's the multiple synopsis?
It's just synopsis, right? We've been through this. I feel like I just like saying synopses.
It sounds very classic when you do it that way.
What? I don't know. They all work, right? Have we heard it both ways?
I see what you did there. So we meet Bernie Bethel, who's played by the amazing Brad Dourif. I have a psych degree of separation with Brad. Brad and I both were in the second greatest American television show ever made, other than Psych. We were both in a little show called Deadwood.
Oh.
And Brad was the Deadwood Town doctor. Unfortunately, spoiler alert, poor Brom was already dead at the time, so I didn't have any lines with him in the scene. Yet some people say it was my best work ever. But Brad, of course, was in, again, that little movie called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Playing the great Billy Bibbit, a role for which he received an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah. And we
so
got
this
him
is the second time he's played a character with a double B for initials.
That's true. We do. We always do that.
We go
deep on
the show.
We do things on purpose. We really do. All right. So the SBPD tells Sean that he is to contact them through a hidden camera in a plant once he can get Bethel to confess. And his reasoning for being there is a narcissistic personality disorder.
Or is he
Did you just say shocker? That's literally what Devin wrote. Literally.
Or as he calls it, handsome disease.
Dot, 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 shocker. Okay, anyway. I was like, you're psychic. Okay. Sean first spots Bernie talking to his brother Daniel. Later at group therapy, we meet Lavender McElroy. That has to be a Gus nickname, right? Like, we actually named a character that. Okay. Anyway, the rigid head nurse who is looking daggers at Sean. Sean approaches Bernie, who he initially perceives to be an okay guy, and he meets a few other characters as well. However, Sean still doesn't buy his supposed act and goes to make the claim that Bernie's fear of mirrors and saxophones.
Have we named who plays McElroy, by the way?
No, let's leave. We have to do that. Anyway, hang on. It's a fake symptom that he created. Now back to McElroy. Who has played you all? I mean, yeah.
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
The third member of our Breakfast Club dream team.
Yep.
Started, of course, by the great Ally Sheedy, followed by Judd Nelson. And then we can't leave out John Capolos.
No.
And then, of course, Anthony Michael Hall, pitch hits. Later as the show goes on. Spoiler alert, but I'm assuming you've all seen the series.
So we still have one more, which means we have to keep making Psych.
Still trying to get that darn Emilio. He's so elusive.
We got to get him. Okay. Sean, okay, wait. After making a scene, which Sean is so good at, he gets put in a protective mittens.
Or admits, hang on, we missed the first group therapy scene.
Oh, we're in it. We're sort of in it, right? No, we're just after it. So, yes, we are missing Nate as well, Nate Mooney, who is fantastic. He's the guy who's itching next to Sean.
Could possibly itching. We meet a character named Longfellow who.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Right across.
Which I gotta see is a lovely sort of inside baseball moment, because that actor's name is a First Nations actor from Canada named William Belew. Who I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name, William Belew, Canadian French Canadian.
Yeah.
But having a First Nations actor play that is an homage to the great William Sampson, who's a Native American who played Chief in Cuckoo's Nest.
That's right. That's right. All right, good. Tim, you're really bringing it with, like, the trivia tonight and stuff.
It's see, I'm prepared and stuff.
Like.
So let's just talk about that. So we are now, we're not, we shot this on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh.
Should we talk about the best part about this episode?
The best part about this episode, yes. Was that we had to boat in to that location.
Was getting to the Sunshine Coast.
It was actually really beautiful. But we had these like early morning calls and we would be out. I remember one day we had to wrap early, or I know I wrapped early because there was like a storm coming in and they said it was going to be too dangerous for us to boat back in to where like we were staying or whatever on the Sunshine Coast. So this was its own little island. It was actually really incredible. It was really beautiful.
So we started at Horseshoe Bay, which in West Van, which a beautiful part of Vancouver. If you haven't been there.
Sorry. Yeah. You got it. You're good.
Sorry, I literally just broke in front of all of you. Pardon.
We love it. We love it.
Hey, it's real life. It's real life. That's how you know this is a live show.
Yeah, this is a live show. Anything can happen. I don't know about you all, but I am quite a skeptic, actually. And I honestly think that sometimes it actually helps me in situations where, like, I gossip less or I don't, you know, share something that I'm like, I don't think this is true. I think this is an embellished story or whatever. Anyway, so if you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and you read labels like it's your job, congratulations, you are a skeptic. And Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that extends your standards. Their clinically backed, essential for women, 18 plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet. Ritual's essential for women 18 plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in a clinical study. Honestly, for me, it's just like,
like the proof is in how I feel. And so for me, I love taking ritual vitamins because I can read what's on the label. And I've just now made it my own ritual. And I take them every single morning. 9 key ingredients and 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. Gentle on an empty stomach with a minty essence in every bottle. I love that, by the way, the little minty essence. It's in every bottle that helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified. So you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. See, this is why I like it. Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp and made traceable. We love all of that. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pineapple. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pineapple for 25% off. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If I had an extra hour in the day, I honestly think I would just do nothing. Like I would turn my phone off. I think I would not even listen to music. I would just lay on the floor with Linus for an hour. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. I love it, doing nothing as a priority. But see, for me, when I do nothing, I feel like it's in the quiet that I find peace. I even get answers. I get inspired creatively. That's why I'm making a podcast called Me Time, because I love to spend time alone. I love to spend time in nature. I love to spend time in the quiet. That's when I think the magic happens. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. It is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. This is what I think is so important about therapy. It's very hard to do that, to say like, I need this time for myself, especially if people don't understand. Like, you need to just be alone? What do you mean? Why can't I come with you? Why can't I be there? Why are you not calling me back? Why are you not? It's really hard to do that. And I think that that's where therapy's been helpful for me. But so if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy. Go to BetterHelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. You won't regret it. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple, 10% off.
So we show up to the docks, and it's not a yacht, but it's this beautiful cabin cruiser. And I have this amazing shot of you in a captain's. I've got to find it. It's not a buried on hard drive somewhere.
Oh yeah, that's you right.
Like, give me this nice salute.
Yeah.
Like, so our ride to work that day was just amazing.
Yeah. I was all in. I was like, yeah, I'm going to captain this ship. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be driving this boat by the time
we got barred actually from the captain, who, strangely, he was still able to steer to pilot the boat.
Yes.
Even without his hat.
Yeah, he was.
But I knew that could he not do his job, you would have been able to take over.
Absolutely. I was ready. I was ready to step in. I loved it. I was like, this is how we should go to work every morning. It's like a half hour of Zen going out on the water before. Oh, it was really, really, really nice.
So the shot. So where they were doing that, the lawn, the group therapy.
Yeah.
Like there's lots of shots from the patio of the institution. You're just seeing Horseshoe Bay. And remember, we took all our set chairs were inside. We remember taking them all out and moving them onto the patio just so we could sit and have our coffee.
Gorgeous view.
Shoot like we do.
Absolutely. It was so nice.
This was one where we're like, I could not believe they were paying us to do this.
No, it was cool. Do you remember the hotel at all? Do you remember anything?
I remember getting there and it being not the best. And I think you texted me like,
so many mosquitoes. It was because it was like right on the water. And it was like this one part of like the summer. It just happened to be really nice and humid and gorgeous. And
but hadn't your room fluttered? So remember, like, you called me saying, come look at this room. And it was like this sort of dank, damp smell.
No, that wasn't okay. That room wasn't okay. Something bad happened in that room. There's no question. I was like, this is bad. Like, this is going to be an episode.
Murder?
You all should just write the episodes. You're reading our minds. All right, so that's a little backstory. I love the Sunshine Coast, by the way. It's like, oh, It's just so beautiful. Okay, so we're at the mittens, which I do believe is my favorite scene of the episode.
So now we're in the lobby, and we go down to the basement after Sean's made a scene with spilling all the pills everywhere, and it's myself, it's O'Hara and Lassiter, and Sean comes down, and again it's the mittens scene.
It's the mittens, and then Gus gets in trouble because he was flirting. He's being Gus.
So I need to talk about the mittens scene for a second, which is So there's the line after when Sean is insisting on we all touch the mittens. And you're like, why are you still wearing these? Like, because they're so soft. So then Dulé takes them and eventually tries to get me. And I have this great, it's one of my favorite comedic beats because I'm like, oh, stop with the damn mittens. Oh, these are quite soft.
Yes.
Which I need to get it. Let me dive in a little deep into the comedy this moment. Not to put on my professor hat, but. It's one of my favorite comedy beats to play, which is the Shona Dime, the juxtaposition of setting up the anger one part and then Lassiter going so super soft. Like, well, these are quite soft. Yeah. Which in that Spin on a Dime is, Mel Brooks was a genius at it. Bobby Newhart was one of the best. But it's like a
I
verbal.
I think Tim Amundsen was.
Oh, you're the best.
One of the best.
That was a softball, but man, you really knocked that out of park. Thanks, Mike.
I mean, come on.
But these kind of lines, I love them because they're verbal spit takes.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, actually. It made me laugh so hard. Just the shift in your the whole.
Well, anytime I get to undercut Lassiter's toughness is just delicious to
play. We know you're all mushy on the inside. Come on. Okay, so mittens. Here we go. Later that night, Sean and Gus follow Bernie to the kitchen. Bernie is alone and doing strange things. Things that lead Sean and Gus to believe that Bernie may not be faking it at all. That he may actually be crazy. Or else, why would he feel the need to put on the crazy act when he is completely alone? Sean now believes that Bernie really is crazy, so he tries to get further proof of it by convincing Bernie to meet him in the room with the camera plant. Lassie then tells Sean to move the plant back and forth to get the perfect angle.
Such a ridiculous scene.
Sean flashes a hand mirror in Bernie's face to get him to go nuts, but Bernie doesn't freak out. He remains calm and even smiles, thus confusing Sean even more. Why isn't Bernie freaking out? Is he not really insane after all?
But again, calling out Andrew Bernstein, because this scene written in the hands of a lesser director would just be a train wreck. But for him, like having Lassiter speaking in his earpiece in the back and forth of to the left, to the right, and then the shot of Sean doing it was just
so
Andrew Bernstein, ladies and
so
gentlemen.
So funny, Andrew Bernstein. At the group exercise, Sean confronts Bernie and tells him that he believes he is a fake. Bernie, now lucid, tells Sean he couldn't have strangled Sheila because he has an arthritic condition, and that during the trial he wasn't lucid, and the fact that he had arthritis never got brought up to his lawyer, as we can recall from when he dropped his Skittles from earlier. So many Skittles. Sean envisions the pill being administered to Bernie, and this is when I was like, it's not just something that he picks up on, like it is an actual extreme vision. That he can read.
This is some hardcore Sean vision.
It was really impressive, this one. Anyway, on
the fact that Skittles plays so much in this script just shows you how funny. Because as we discussed before, K words are funny, so that's why they constantly repeat Skittles.
Skittles.
And they're full of delicious flavor, apparently.
Yes, they are. They are full of delicious flavor.
They taste like rainbows.
It's a rainbow flavor. We can recall. Okay, so Sean envisions a pill being administered to Bernie. It reads 500 milligrams on an oval blue tablet. Oval blue tablet. With Gus's help, Sean formulates a new theory. Bernie appeared insane initially because his medication hadn't kicked in yet. And now that it had kicked in, Bernie no longer appears to be insane. From this, Sean puts it together that Dr. Elliot was the inside man getting paid to make Bernie crazy by not giving him his proper meds. However, when Sean goes to confront Dr. Elliot about this, he finds Elliot dead. So we think that he might be
murdered.
I love when everyone sings along. It's so nice. Sean runs to tell someone about Elliot's death, but he gets knocked out. Sean later wakes up to find himself in restraints, surrounded by Nurse Fleming and Orderly Collins.
I think we totally skipped a scene.
Did we skip a scene?
The kitchen scene where they see Bernie and they think that he actually might be.
Oh, no. We did. We got it. But what did we miss?
We missed then the the scene where Sean comes to Lassen O'Hara again in the basement for the first time to say that maybe Barney's not crazy and it's the water in his ear. And
where, oh, yeah.
Juliet is horrified that it's her worst nightmare because Sean actually likes it there because they have
He likes it. He like wants to stay. Yeah.
My favorite line is how he says that not as there's a pool, there's a gym with Nautilus and the leather workshop and his spoiler alert, making you a wallet just made me laugh every time.
It's really good how much he likes it.
I have to call out your hair in the scene because it's all loose and curly. It's like it's still windblown from our boat ride over.
That's true. That was a funny bit. That was a funny bit that we did miss. Okay.
Let me catch up with my professional notes.
Okay, where are we? I don't even know where we are now. Gus tells Juliet about blah, blah, blah. Sean tells someone about Elliot's. Okay, yes, got it. Okay, so he's restrained now. Gus tells Juliet and Lassiter about Bernie's arthritis. They go to question Bernie's lawyer, Philip Zern. Zern claims that Bernie said a lot of crazy things during the trial and that if he knew about the arthritis, he would have brought it up to help clear his name. Zern also says that Bernie was his only client for the last 20 years. Juliet finds this fishy. It's true.
So during this scene, Lassiter is get those drinks ready.
I do.
Because Lassiter is back in a Ocean Eyes blue, sapphire bottle blue, time for a drink, folks, shirt. But because I'm not wearing a jacket in the scene, that means that I have to cross my arms the entire scene. I'm doing the old push your biceps out to make them look bigger move.
Oh my God.
It's a classic actor move.
I feel like you
always come. You knew what I was doing. I couldn't fool you.
I think by season six, you were just like, it's only blue from now on. I'm only in Ocean Eyes blue from now on. We started to like throw around a little power.
It was contractual. It's like, it's season six. And time for, they want me back on the show? Okay. Hey, agent man. Or actually, like, hey, agent woman. I've got a really, really, really important piece I need to bring up for this next year's contract.
Yeah.
Ocean Eyes blue all the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I just noticed, like, it was so shameless in this scene, like, without wearing the jacket. Like, push out the biceps.
So good. All right. So Gus tells, okay, Juliet, I know where we were. Juliet finds this fishy as Zern's office appears to be experiencing success and expansion after losing their only client. Gus finds a restrained Sean and helps him escape. Who helps him? Oh, we've missed like a couple of, I think, very funny Gus moments with Vivian / Frank.
Frank.
Yeah.
The sometimes plumber.
I love both of them. So let's see. What did I just say? Where did I clear his name? Okay, Zern Gus finds restrained Sean and helps him. They see Bernie being wheeled to the second floor to get electroshock therapy. But Vivian creates quite a diversion. And thus enabling Sean and Gus to make their escape from the hospital with Bernie in tow. Just then, I mean, that is a party, whatever it is next time. it's good. It's a good beat. Okay. Just then, Juliet gets a call that Sean just broke Bethel out of the mental hospital. Juliet tells Sean on the phone that she thinks the lawyer Zern may be the mastermind. Sean puts it together that Zern.
We have another series first here in this scene.
Let's do it.
It is the first time in the history of the series, I do believe, after you say that Sean just busted him out, that I say that it's the first time Lassiter refers to Sean as your boyfriend.
Oh, that's right. That's your boyfriend. That's right.
And that's your boyfriend.
Also kind of meta at the time.
Wait, you dated James?
Yes. Yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
What?
I thought you guys were kind of close in between lighting setups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it was. Says, yeah.
You're funny. Just running lines.
I meant to say that when I was, I think that is in my notes, actually. I was like, oh, that was a moment. That was a true moment. Anyway, so Juliet gets a call. Sean puts it together that Zern must have found out that Elliot put Bernie on meds that made him lucid and had Elliot killed so that Bernie wouldn't receive the right meds. Sean sees the second round of blue meds at 500 milligrams, but a square tablet as opposed to the oval. He's so good. and would therefore remain as though he was actually insane and not simply a person who was off their meds. Sean also makes the claim that there is no way that Zern could have acted alone and that there must have been someone on the inside.
I think we're almost up to my limit, I think.
What?
We hit my limit.
Oh, it wasn't a murder. It was an on the inside.
Oh.
Which is a Dulé line.
I was really disappointed. There was a moment in the I'm going way back now. In the SPPD, when we decide that Sean can go undercover, Henry Scott, it might be good to have someone on the inside, but he doesn't give an inside.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember watching going, missed opportunity. What the hell?
And I made it happen. Okay, so someone on the inside, making sure Bernie got the wrong meds. Sean figures out that the insider tampering with Bernie's meds, keeping him crazy.
Insider. I don't do it as well as Dulé.
I liked it.
You're generous.
It was McElroy. After breaking Bernie out, they stop at Jamba Juice for some pineapple smoothies. They head to McElroy's apartment to confront her, and she admits to messing with Bernie's dose, but doesn't cop to killing Elliot. Sean believes her. Then Sean flashes back to the local news piece. He remembers one of the people interviewed was Bernie's brother, Daniel. And sure enough, Daniel enters the room with a gun drawn, signaling that he was the one behind framing Bernie for Sheila's murder all along.
That son of a bitch.
Beep. Okay. In order
pretend
to...
pretend and say it. We can...
What?
I'm telling our audience...
I didn't hear anything.
What, when I said son of a gun?
Yeah. In order to save himself, Gus, Bernie, and McElroy, from getting killed by Daniel, Sean blares a Kenny G album, forcing a medicated Bernie into a panicked freakout similar to an outburst he had earlier. This whole Kenny G run, I was in tears.
Dulé's smooth jam dance.
Yes. But then, like, Sean sort of also catching on and getting into it. And it just, what is happening in this scene?
This is one of those, thank goodness I wasn't in the scene yet because it would have made Lasser get him.
You would have never made
it. Nobody will see Lasser's slow jam.
I mean, my God. No, you would have been hilarious slow jam. I just mean you would have never made it through the scene without laughing.
Again, thank goodness I wasn't in the scene.
Bernie goes nuts from his real phobia of saxophones. It's so good. I mean, it's just so layered. There's so many layers. He grabs onto his brother, begging him to make it stop. Sean and Gus use the distraction to knock down Daniel and grab his gun. Sean, feeling bad for Bernie, goes to shut the music off. But Gus tells him to wait, because his favorite part is coming up. Just then, Lassiter and Juliet show up.
Yeah, yay! We do. Badass cops, Lassiter and Juliet.
Guns drawn.
Into
badass. Oh, beep. Sorry. But what do we find when we get there? Gus is dancing to the music. Bernie's still cowering on the floor, and Sean is listening very intently to some Kenny G. They stare at the scene with disbelief, but are able to pull it together to arrest Daniel. Back at the psychiatric institution, Bernie, Sean, Lassiter, and Juliet are standing in the backyard. Bernie states that he's going to stay a while because the place is actually really peaceful. Sean agrees. And Juliet grabs his hand, tells him it's time to go.
Just a very quick time to go. We're leaving now.
We are leaving. You cannot stay, even though maybe he should be there. Wait, that's it. That's it. That's the episode.
No way. Come on, already?
No way. No way, that went so fast. But we still have fan questions. And who wants, or should we do them? Should we do our fan questions too? I mean, that was our episode. I thought this one was really funny.
Again, Brad
really
Dorf
silly.
Made this one for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's so good. I mean, oh, you watch this episode and you're like, oh, that's why he's got an Academy Award nomination and a Golden Globe for that role in Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's Nest, yeah. Yeah.
How did we get him? I was still like, he was one of those actors that shows up at the set. We're like, really? How on earth do we convince this man to come play with us?
There are so many like that, though. And I by this time, I felt like our, like reputation. People would come up and they'd be like, oh, we you know, I heard about your show because other friends had come up to do the show and been like, go do psych. It's really fun. They have so much fun.
Yeah, by season psych, they all knew that like
the word got out.
If you're up the weekend, there's going to be drinks. We're going to invite you out. You're going to not required to come drink with us, but you probably it's understood you're going to come hang with us.
Yeah, you're coming out with us.
We're going to take you to dinner or make you drink or ask you to drink with us if you.
Then we're going to have a really good time. We're going to play and let you kind of do whatever you want with your character. And it just was like a – it was so fun.
And
it
Brad just came to play.
Space. And Brad came to play. Yes, everyone did. Everyone did. We had so many – we had a couple of very fun dinners in the Sunshine Coast, I remember. You missed one.
There was one that Molly went to that I missed.
Yeah, Molly, there was one night I remember Molly being like, does anyone want to go eat? And I was like, yes.
Like, take me out of this haunted hotel room, please.
Yeah, exactly. It was very cool. Got to have a nice dinner with Molly Ringwald, which was amazing. All right, so our fan questions. If you all are ready, and Devin, are you here? Even though I know you're not going to do them, I just want you to wave. Hi. We missed you. Hi. Devin's the best. All right. So for our fan questions that people sent in, just because this is our podcast and this is what we do, what was your favorite scene from the episode? I already said. What scene?
Mittens.
Do we even need to say? I mean, that's it. It was the mittens scene. It's so good. And you're so good. And Dulay is good. And James is good. And everybody's good.
We're all good. We're so good on this show.
It's pretty good. We should make a TV show.
Again.
Any deleted scenes that didn't make it in this episode? Oh, gosh.
I think there is one. It's not a scene, but there's a shot where Shauna's laying in the bed. And I think in between takes, I snuck in and got in bed next to him and cuddled up. And then it's in a psych out.
Oh, it's a psych out?
It's a psych out. Because
oh, my God.
It was just for our hiatus. So I'm doing it just to make our crew laugh. And then I think at the end of it, I say, happy hiatus, everyone.
Oh.
And me, because I wanted to cuddle with James.
That was a mid-season hiatus, wasn't it? We got to the point where we loved having rap parties so much because we had this crew band and then we would all sing that we decided to have half-season rap parties. And that was our half-season.
I just wish we had fun on the show, Maggie.
I know. Oh, my God. And we used to pick all the songs we were going to sing. Oh, man. It was really fun. Okay, what's up with the Skittles? I don't know. Do you know?
Again, it's a K word.
Is that it? Skittles?
Or they were paying us. I don't know.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a very funny, it's a silly thing, Skittles. But, it works in the episode. I have no idea why we picked Skittles, though. But Skittles are
funny. Because it's a K word.
Okay, I got it. What's up with the Skittles? It's a K word. And that's why we did it.
So I wasn't yelling at you, by the way.
Yes, you were. You were yelling.
I'm sorry, okay?
All right. Who was the actor who played Bernie?
Brad Dourif.
And how did he come to be on Psych, which we've kind of already answered. Yeah.
Some begging.
No, yeah, right. There was some. I don't know that we had to beg that much, but we probably did anyway, just because he's so amazing. What was it like working with Molly Ringwald? I mean... It was very fun. Molly Ringwald is she's like goddess-like. She walks into a room and everything kind of stops and you just are immediately like, oh my God, what is the scarf you're wearing? What are these sunglasses? Oh my God.
I tried not to think much. Like, you just start thinking about the movies of my adolescence that she was in. I got a little starstruck.
Oh, I did too. I was totally starstruck. But even Molly it wasn't just
being.
That. She's just, there's just something about her. It's so, I was so excited to get to talk about her for a minute because anyway, it was whatever.
You're you were in 16 Candles.
I played it cool. I really played it.
You always, you're much cooler than me anyway.
Was I? I don't think I was.
Yes, you were.
Okay, maybe I was.
Just in general.
Well, sometimes. I don't think that's true, across the board.
This
just
is
most
we're
of
friends.
The time.
We're friends.
All
we're
right.
The best.
If you could play any character in this episode that is not your own, who would you want to play? Oh, good question. I mean, I think What would you want to play?
This is, we get this question from time. It's always an impossible question because that means someone else would be playing this role, which it would. It's already perfect.
Yeah.
So there's no nobody I would rather I want to replace in this shit.
I'd play McElroy.
And you would play the shit out of McElroy.
I'd throw some Nurse Ratched in there, probably. Yeah, that's what came to mind for me. I know it's like kind of not a huge part in the episode, but it'd be fun to have.
It would have been huger if you played it.
Aw, I don't know about that, but that's absolutely really sweet. Did you all just like audibly like, aw? That's like very sweet. Guys, that's our episode. Those are our fan questions. Like, that's our podcast episode. Oh, God. And how do we do? I hope everybody's like not. Okay, good. We're not everybody too long.
I need to make a little comment about the incredible human beings who listen to our show. The psychologists are in a PsychoWatch podcast.
Yeah.
So you psychos in general are just the most amazing people. A few episodes ago, on one of the episodes, we had a conversation about when as a kid I had a long playing records of Star Wars.
That's right.
Who remembers this conversation? Anybody? Okay, one person. So now we know who listens to the episodes closely. So long story short, I had a long playing record of Star Wars, which had every line of dialogue from the movie on it. Now, I was sick all the time as a kid, so I would listen to this one all the time. So when it came time to me to audition for Obi-Wan Kenobi in one of my first voiceover jobs, I got to do Obi-Wan because I did a really good Alec Guinness at the time, thanks to this LP, which I had long since my mom had given away. And I was lamenting the fact that I didn't have this album anymore. In the autograph line today, one of you beautiful people presents me.
Right here.
You presented me with this LP, which it's not often that I start to cry in the autograph line, but this one really got me. It was so incredibly special. So, again, thank you so much. Just I'm beclempting now. Like
he told me about it right away.
Such an incredible. So, but this just as an example of the people who listen to our show and then come to our show.
Yeah, today was really special. I mean, just meeting all of you and like hearing the stories that we hear about, like, you know, psych getting people through a hard time, psych, like people watching it with their kids and, you know, having watched it, and been a fan in their time and then now have kids and they're watching it with their kids now. We just love you all so much. And I love these cons.
Are you crying? Because I'm going to cry. I'm a sympathetic crier now.
Oh, my God.
And I'm gone.
Too. Someone did a painting of my dog, Linus. There was like a gift basket for him as well. Wait, raise your hands and things. Yes. Oh, you all brought the gift basket too. Oh, my God. Of course. That was like the first thing that happened today. And then, where's the artist? She's here. I know she's here. She's probably going to like it. Anyway. And then
that beautiful watercolor she showed me immediately after.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful. And
after
then,
I told her about your LP, she's like, then, here, look what I got.
But all of your, yes, obviously we love the gift, but even just like all of the stories and just having the moment to like sit with all of you today and get to know you a little bit and hear, you know, you've made an impact on us as well. I mean, like we have this show that we love doing so much, but we can't do that without you all. It truly is this extended family, and we get to like come and celebrate that with you when we get to come.
As the mantra goes, without you, we are not us.
Yeah.
So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
And you're just such beautiful people. Like all of you. Like the stories are just and yeah. Like
I gotta tell you guys, hometown, you did not disappoint this weekend. And we still have tomorrow too.
It was like a really like I was really moved today, like repeatedly, just from everybody. Anyway, so thank you all so much. And we love that you all feel the love we feel making this show. Because that's how we've said that all along from the very beginning. Like, we just hope that what we all feel for each other and this sweet, funny, silly, smart, wild show. I mean, there's so many other words too, but like that it came across and that you guys get to feel and want to hang out with us every week and continue to want to hang out with us at our live shows and cons and everything else. It just is, it's
and we're still going to, we're still going to talk about the love fest that is this show.
Yeah. Oh,
and
great. Yeah.
Thanks to you for asking me to do this podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for saying yes, finally.
I can't believe... She told me today, she's like, you realize you didn't say yes, right? I'm like, what? Literally, the story in my head is when she called me, I was like, do you want to do a Psych Rewatch podcast? I said, I have no idea what it is, but if you're thinking it's a good idea, then yes, I'm in. Apparently, that wasn't the story, right?
No, it's a really funny story, actually. And we're out of time, so I'll just say this really fast. But of course, I talked to Steve and I talked to James. Psych is Steve's and James. And I wanted to make sure that, like, if they wanted to do a Psych Rewatch pod, that's, you know, they should do it. And then they were like, nah, take it, do it, go whatever. And then I was like, Tim, let's do this. And Tim was like, I don't know. I don't remember. Just the first phone call I remember we had was like, I didn't even know how to, I didn't know what I was doing. So me trying to explain it to Tim, I was like, I don't know. We're just going to rewatch the show. We're going to talk about it and tell these stories. And then finally, when I had a better idea, I called you back and I was like, all right, here's the deal. Just show up and tell funny stories.
Press
and,
a button on
and
your
talk
computer
about and... this show that we love. Press a button on the computer and that's it. It's all. And we're going to have a ball. And he was like, all in. Then we
Thank
got in.
God, so, I finally said yes.
Yeah, and then we, and now we're here. Now we're here.
Because, again, I got to say it, Maggie, doing the show with you is the highlight of my week.
And you all listen, and you all knew so many things today. And I just like the fact that you now listen to the podcast, too, it means so much. Anyway, we love you all so, so, so much. And thank you for sharing everything you did today and for podcasting the shit out of it with us.
Hey, Maggie, you know, we should go podcast the shit out of it in Richmond next month.
We should podcast the shit out of it in Richmond and maybe in Indianapolis, maybe Oklahoma City. I don't know.
Not even maybe. How about absolutely?
Maybe Columbus, maybe San Jose, maybe some other place. Yeah. And okay, bye. All right, what? Boston. All right, have Boston give us a call. Tell Boston to call that woman back there in that white shirt and tell her that Boston would like us to come to a live podcast. All right. Anyway.
So, King of Boston, call our agent, please.
Yes.